Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is my special guest, Stuart Ritter. Welcome, Stuart.
Thank you for having me.
It's great having you on the show. Stuart is a T. Rowe Price employee. He's a financial planner with T. Rowe Price's Financial Planning Services Group, and he's a vice president of the Investment Services, Inc., a part of T. Rowe Price. He designs, builds, implements guidance and provides advice and services to assist customers in achieving their financial goals. But you don't always work directly with customers, do you? You work with teams of advisors, don't you?
I do. I have a somewhat unique role. The way I describe it for folks is, in the medical field, there are clinical physicians that work with patients every day.
Okay.
And there are research physicians that work in a lab. My role is a research financial planner. So I have the opportunity to work with the other experts at T. Rowe Price, other financial planners, mathematicians, investment professionals, tax experts, economists. And as a company, we get a better handle on the kinds of money issues that people are facing, how we can help them solve it, how do we map them to a solution, do we need to create a new service or product. And then we work with the folks at our company who are the clinical physicians, who are talking with people every day and making sure they're providing the best solutions for someone's particular situation.
So does T. Rowe Price have a team of financial planners that work for them that go out and service clients in the community?
We do. We have a network of investor centers. We also help a lot of people over the phone.
Okay.
So no matter where you are, you can get a hold of the expertise that we have. And it's a wide range of assistance, everything from what we in the arena call guidance, which is general education, helping you understand what your options are, as well as advice, which is specific steps you can take to achieve your financial goals.
Have you been spending a lot of time with people on Roth IRAs and Roth IRA conversions? You smile at me.
We have an
inordinate amount of time.
With the recent rule change letting people do the conversions without the income limits, for those of you who are not aware, if you had earned above a certain amount and had money in a traditional IRA, you were not allowed to convert to a Roth IRA. That rule recently changed. So it's an opportunity for people who want what the Roth provides in terms of tax benefits, which is when you make withdrawals, assuming it's a, quote, qualified withdrawal, you don't pay taxes on the money you take out.
Right.
Whereas with a traditional, you do. They now have the opportunity to do that. So we're talking a lot of people through those options.
That's a very well explained summary of a very complex area. Now, Stuart received his BS as Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering from the University of Maryland. How did you get into, and then you got your master's in political science from American University. How did you get into the financial planning world?
Well, clearly it took a while to figure out what I wanted to do.
All right.
The common theme, though, and it's one we try to apply at T. Rowe Price, is taking complex information, whether when I started out it was electrical engineering kinds of things, or now as a financial planner, complex money issues, and explaining them to people who frankly have better things to do with their lives well enough that they can make good decisions to achieve their goals they're trying to achieve. And that's the approach we try to take. So whether you're saving for your children's college, whether you're trying to plan for your own retirement, whether you're in retirement and trying to make the money last, whether it's a vacation home, a new car, helping people cut through the complex options that they have, understand how to put a plan together, and then what they need to do to implement that plan. Those are the kinds of things that I've been able to build some skills with, and that we've been able to apply at T. Rowe Price to help people with their goals.
Now, you grew up in Montgomery County, probably 2 miles away from where I grew up, and we actually went to high school, not at the same time, but at the same high school together. So,
amazing.
You know, we're natives. We're native Washingtonians, but you now live up in Ellicott City, and you've got a family, and you became interested in applying some of these techniques that you're using to children. Tell me all about why parents should be educating their kids on financial planning and the economics of financial planning. What's that all about, and why did you get interested in it?
Well, any parent will recognize that from a very early age, kids are watching what you're doing, and they're drawing conclusions about how money works. So the idea of actually taking the time to educate your kids is important because they're learning whether you're involved in that process or not.
Okay.
Just the other day, my 6-year-old daughter looked at me and said, "Daddy, May I have my own credit card, please? She's six. So I took a deep breath.
Uh-oh.
And I looked back and said, well, Samantha, why do you want your own credit card? Well, Daddy, when you go in a store, if you give them a credit card, you can have whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
So she's learning.
Okay.
It's my responsibility as a parent to put some context around that. And parents recognize that they play a key role in doing that. T. Rowe Price did a survey of parents.
Okay.
And what we found was the vast majority of parents recognize that they should be the primary source of information for their kids. But they also grade themselves at a B- on their ability to do so and how effective they are.
Why do parents have such a hard time talking to kids about money?
I think there are two reasons. One, many parents are feeling a little bit insecure about their own knowledge. They feel like, I don't quite get this. I don't have my own house in order. So maybe I'm not ready to be talking to my kids about it.
Right.
The second one is, I think there's some misconceptions about what this whole money conversation needs to be about.
Okay.
And people are a bit intimidated by having it. They think it's got to be this one big long talk with the eye rolls and the formality. And the reality is, it's much more effective and much easier for parents to talk about money as part of everyday teachable moments. When you're in the store and making a decision about what brand you're purchasing, or you're making decisions about the family vacation for the summer and you're deciding whether to fly or drive, whether you're going to the beach for a weekend or cross country for 3 weeks. Money plays a part in that decision process.
It sure does.
So bringing your kids into that conversation, talking about your family priorities, helps them get comfortable with the thought process and better prepares them for the decisions they will ultimately make.
Do you start them with the concept that there needs to be a budget that is set out in terms of the amount of money that should be spent on any given activity or any given product that you're going to be buying?
The four key concepts we encourage parents to talk about starts with setting financial goals. And your budgeting gets to that, but it's setting financial goals, it's saving and spending wisely,
okay,
it's understanding inflation, and it's understanding diversification. And those last two help people make good investment decisions. But it all starts with a financial goal. Talking with kids about money strictly in the abstract, well, you should save, you should never spend. No, you don't need that. Those aren't helpful statements to kids if we're trying to develop their abilities to make good money decisions. Having them set a financial goal, having them make spending decisions based on that.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in the store, they want to buy the baseball cards, and you remind them they have the goal of saving up for the video game they wanted. Now we can make some trade-offs. Now we understand prioritizations. Same thing. Are we flying or are we driving to the destination? Well, if we fly, we only have enough money to stay for 67 minutes. If we drive, can be there the whole week.
Although I just heard something about the flight prices coming way down.
Okay,
today.
Well then we double
maybe,
that.
Maybe we can stay there for 2.5 hours.
There you go.
But if I have a credit card, Daddy, I can buy anything, right?
Right. So there are two aspects of money that we need to talk to our kids about. The first one, which generally is a lot easier for parents, is the mechanics of money. How does it work? So we're not talking about sitting down with your W-2 and telling your kids how much money you make. That's not what this is about.
Okay.
But it is about helping them understand that when you go to work, that's what generates income into the household.
Right.
And you need to make decisions about how much you're spending on housing and how much on entertainment and how much on eating out. The writing of a check means you're taking money out of your bank account. When you use a credit card, you ultimately get a piece of paper or online from the credit card company saying, here's how many times you used that. Here's how much it was. Now you've got to take the money that you have and send it to the credit card company. And
right,
if you don't pay it in full, next month you have to send them even more than what you actually purchased. Those mechanics are very helpful for kids to understand as they're trying to figure out how money flows through the household.
And what age can you start to teach children about these concepts? I mean, you said you have a six-year-old. That's pretty young.
It is. It starts before elementary school, which is much earlier than most people expect. A lot of people think, well, when they get to high school, you know, before they leave for college, we'll sit down and have the talk.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as your kids are recognizing that money is playing a role in the household, which again happens very early on, they're learning. you need to take the opportunity to start putting the education around it. And that's what parents feel they are responsible for.
I think my wife is a master at this. We have four kids. I've got one in college, one who's getting ready to go to college, and two younger ones. And she's been teaching them about money all along. It's not like, well, what do you want, honey? I'll get it for you. It's, well, how are you going to pay for it? And if you want the game, how much is it going to cost? Should I get it, you know, instead of spending money on the ice cream cone? That's not probably not a good example, but.
But the idea that you've got financial goals, that there are trade-offs involved, that you need to set priorities, those are the key skills we need to impart to our children. And money is an important area to do that.
Now, you were involved with Walt Disney, is that right, in designing a program or an online program called The Great Piggy Bank Adventure?
The Great Piggy Bank Adventure.
Great Piggy Bank,
yes,
sorry.
Yes, I did have the opportunity. One of the things we recognized is as we're trying at T. Rowe Price to support these educational efforts and make it easier for parents to have conversations, that the stereotypical reaction from kids is the eye roll, is the boredom. We wanted to make it fun. And we had this wonderful opportunity to collaborate with Walt Disney. And we have created an online game that teaches kids those four principles we talked about: setting financial goals, saving and spending wisely, inflation and diversification, at thegreatpiggybankadventure.com. Kids go through an online virtual board game. They're rolling dice. They're answering questions. They're making decisions. They're buying things. They're deciding even how to invest their truffles, the currency in the game, and trying to achieve a particular financial goal. The kids are just having a great time. What it does, though, is teach them some of these fundamental educational concepts when it comes to money. And most importantly, it makes it easier for parents to have the conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're able to take the experience the kids had in the game and translate it into the real world. It's no longer video game versus ice cream cone. Now you're talking about, well, remember in the store in the game when you bought the skateboard and then you didn't achieve your financial goal? It's like that. And in the testing we did, the light bulbs went on.
Yeah. And, you know, you're making the conversations fun. It's making it fun.
Yes, which surprises a lot of people that money can be fun, but Disney really is magical. They made it work. The kids play it over and over again, and they learn new things each time they go through it. And you, as the parent, get the opportunity to share your wisdom with the kids and make them more successful in the game. And let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When was the last time a parent helped their children do better at a video game? That's the opportunity here.
Now, I noticed a comment in some of the materials you gave me about moms get money questions first, but dads say they're more knowledgeable. Ooh, that's an interesting.
I'm a little scared to get anywhere near that kind of psychological, sociological statement there. But the survey we did show us that. And I think what it means is both parents play a critical role in conveying this information to their kids. So being assertive about that, taking advantage of those everyday teachable moments, talking to your kids about how you're making decisions, asking them about how they're making decisions so you can help guide them. All of those things help put the package together.
Now, do you involve the kids in the decision-making process? You alluded to that in terms of talking about vacation. You know, should we fly? Should we drive? But if we fly, it's only going to allow us to stay for 67 minutes. Do you really involve them in those types of life decisions or big decisions?
My kids are fairly young. My oldest is 6. My son is about to turn 5, and I've got a 1.5-year-old daughter. So at this age, it's a little more telling than it is involvement. But still, it was phenomenal seeing my daughter get it. We drive to a beach house pretty much every summer. And at one point, she said, well, you know, Daddy, the drive is really long. It's boring. How about we fly? That would be so much better. And my response was, okay, that's certainly a possibility. Here's the thing. We only have enough money to fly to one place. We can either fly to the beach house or we can fly to Disney World. We brought the kids down this year. Now,
right.
If we fly to the beach house, it means we can't go to Disney World. So there's this fairly brief pause. And she looks at me and says, Daddy, I have a great idea. How about we drive to the beach house? And that way we can still go to Walt Disney. I mean, she's brilliant. She's just brilliant.
She figured
though.
It out pretty quickly.
She did. But it changed the dynamic of the conversation from we don't need to do that or no to conveying the prioritizations and the trade-offs that need to happen. And as my kids get older, I expect that to be a continuing part of the conversation.
Stuart, how do people get in touch with you at T. Rowe Price?
Well, they can call me directly at 410-345-5225, but even better, they can go to the Great Piggy Bank Adventure at thegreatpiggybankadventure.com. We also have a family website where parents share stories about what they learned as kids about money and how they're talking to their children, and that's at troweprice.com/saving.
Excellent. Thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth.
Thank you for having me.
Have a great week, and listen next week for another special topic and special guest.